Cape Talk.
Call 021 446 0567.
And if today's virtual couch guest doesn't inspire you, nothing will. In 2009, Joseph Tafana and his wife fled Zimbabwe in search of a better life in South Africa. The pair of refugees ended up settling in Riebeek Kasteel, where Joseph managed to get a job as a gardener at the Bar Bar Black Sheep restaurant. He was quickly promoted to barman and on his 29th birthday tasted his first glass of wine. He was immediately intrigued, I wouldn't say he loved it, and went on to enroll at the Cape Wine Academy in 2013. And the rest, as they say, is history. He's now an internationally recognized sommelier and winemaker, and I'm so, so excited that he's here in studio with me today to tell his story. I've followed him for years on Instagram. He's known on Insta as the wine poet. So meeting him in real life today is hugely thrilling for me. Joseph, welcome. Thanks for coming into studio. What a story you have.
Thank you so much, Amy. Jeez, I mean, what an introduction. And sounds like a long walk to freedom, I must say. And thank you so much for being a follower and also for really supporting me in a way. And thanks for having me.
I hope we have enough time to cover the full story of your life, because I'd like to start at the very beginning. Talk to us about escaping from Zim.
Well, I normally tell people that, I mean, it really takes a full case of wine for me to finish my whole story, but I'll try to summarize it. In 2008, things weren't really rosy in Zimbabwe in terms of the economy. There were no food, on the shelves in the supermarkets and all that stuff. All you could get if you were actually an employed person was to get your salary, then possibly go and buy not even all of the basic commodities needed for you to survive and possibly to pay rent as well. So then I really made a call and decided to leave Zimbabwe with my wife. Then she was more of a girlfriend, but we moved down to Cape Town. And we had left our son, who was like 2.5 years old then. It was so heartbreaking to leave our son, but we didn't have any option. So we did not have documents to travel or to leave the country, like passports, if you put it that way. So we crossed the border of Limpopo illegally. How? We were actually packed like sardines in the, the containers, like railway containers.
Oh, wow.
And we were actually about 52 in one container. Then we actually locked in there, came to South Africa. Then we got actually dumped at like very close to the refugee camp. And then we could walk from where we actually dropped to the refugee camp. And as soon as we arrived at the refugee camp, we then applied for refugee status.
Sure, it's incredibly brave. And then how did you end up in Riebeek Kasteel at the Bar Bar Black Sheep?
Okay, so from Limpopo or Msina refugee camp, we were granted asylums, which could actually allow us to work and study in South Africa. So that's what we used to actually move around from Msina to Joburg. So I stayed in the streets of Joburg for 2 weeks. So the ladies could actually sleep in the church, which was run by Paul Verein, the Reverend. It was actually Methodist Church, yes. So gents could sleep outside in the streets.
Oh, wow.
And we could actually get food from those aides, who were like the organizations which were actually cooking foods for homeless people. So that's what I ate actually for 2 good weeks. Then my cousin actually spotted me on local television channel. Because that time that's when Lucky Dewey's try was actually going to court and all that stuff. So one camera went through my face, and then my cousin spotted me, and she was in the bigger still then. And then she reached out back home, because when I left Zim, I didn't tell my mom. I just left. And I only told my mom, I think, 2 months after I actually settled here in South Africa.
Sure.
So then she reached out back home. Some people back home were actually surprised that I'm in South Africa already. And up until she got my number, then she sent some money actually for us to board a train from Johannesburg to Cape Town. I think it was a 20-hour journey with the Shosholoza railway line or railway services. So then, and I remember it was 195 then. So then we came down and we actually stayed with her and the husband. I just rested for a week. Then I started really looking for a job as a gardener. And the rest is like you mentioned.
Sure. From gardener to sommelier and winemaker, what a leap. Joseph, talk to us about the first time that you tasted that glass of wine. You didn't love it, did you?
I did not like it. If you have seen the trailer of Blind Ambition, which is going to be premiered in 2 weeks here in Cape Town, you'll see that I even mentioned that my very first sip of wine, I did not like it. And that was very true. It was a glass of bubbly made by one of the producers in Riebeek. Still, well, lucky enough, I actually make my wines there, so I can actually mention. So by Riebeek Cellars. It was a bubbly. I mean, imagine really coming from a culture where wine is not known, raised in a Pentecostal church. My mom was not a drinker. My dad could actually drink here and there, and being seen holding a bottle of beer or a cigarette was such a big sin in my family.
Wow.
So the then owner of Baba Black Sheep Restaurant, Maynard Joubert, gave me a glass of bubbly to celebrate my 20th birthday. And I just had a sip. First sip, it was, and I didn't like it for sure because it was, then I did not have proper wording, like the way to really express how I actually felt, how I tasted. Mm. But now I can. It was a bit astringent, of course, fizzy and very acidic in a way. So I didn't like that. Yeah.
If you've just tuned in, I'm in conversation with Joseph Tofana, the man who's got the most incredible story to tell. He's gone from a refugee to a top sommelier and winemaker, and we're talking about his life and his career here on the virtual couch this afternoon. Joseph, so you didn't really like the wine, but you still went on to enroll at the Cape Wine Academy. What drove that decision?
Indeed. Look, they say if you try wine today and if you don't really happen to enjoy it, the wine bug really starts its journey there. It will follow you up until you get back. So that's exactly what happened to me. So I did not like it then in 2010. It was on the 7th of March. But then fast forward, I think the next year, I then started enrolling with Cape Wine Academy purely because I had come to Cape Town a little bit and I was a barman at Aubergine Restaurant. And then I could actually see how they were actually doing food and wine pairing. The chef was very friendly, Harold, and we became friends and we're still very good friends. So he's the one who said, Joseph, I think you have a talent in wine. So when you go back, because I had actually kind of like resigned, when you go back, Joseph, please try to study wine. So I went back to Riebeek still. Then I enrolled with Cape Wine Academy and my first certificate all the way to the diploma. And then, I did my WSET up to level 2 and 3, of course. Then I did Court of Master Sommelier as well, Europe. I did South African Sommeliers Association certificate, the highest level, I think it's level 2, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I kind of like really collected all these little and big certificates in the industry. But then the turning point was in 2015 when I joined South African Wine Tasting Championships here in Cape Town. I was the third best wine taster in South Africa in 2015. Then that booked my ticket to go and represent South Africa in the World Cup in France. So for me, that was really the highlight of the whole journey. And it changed my life in so many aspects. I was exposed now when my first really long flight was actually going to France to represent South Africa, which was really amazing. Incredible experience, I must say. So I was then exposed to all these international wines. And geez, when I arrived in Champagne, I mean, my heart kind of stopped beating a bit when we were at Bollinger. It was amazing, really.
I bet you enjoyed the bubbles then.
I did, yes. but then I was now a better connoisseur, I would say. Yeah.
And then, Joseph, at some point, shortly thereafter, you ended up as the head sommelier at La Colombe. What was that like?
Yes. So 2014, in October, I think October 28th, I was appointed as the head sommelier of La Colombe restaurant until last year when I left the establishment. It was such an incredible journey. I learned a lot when I was there. I met so many people from all walks of life, and some of them are like really incredible people, and we're still in contact. Some of them are actually inviting me all overseas, some are inviting me here locally. And yeah, honestly, it was such a learning curve. And La Colombe, really, I learned a lot when I was there. Oh, as much as I gave them my all in terms of my knowledge, my experience and everything, I also withdrew some from them. I actually plucked a leaf off their shoulders or whatever, off the establishment, I must say. Yeah.
And now let's talk about your very own wine that you make, Mosi Wines.
Yeah, so it's actually one of the reasons why I actually left LAC alone. I really wanted to focus with my brand. I'm the owner and director of Mosi Wines and Spirits. Mosi, M-O-S-I, which means, it's actually shortening Mosi Ya Tunya, which means the smoke that thunders. That is Victoria Falls. So you see my label has Victoria Falls on it. And it's just the umbilical cord between myself and my country, you know.
Yeah.
And most of my products are actually named after family members. You will see that the Syrah is called Flavian. That's homage which I actually paid my dad. He actually taught me that a gentleman's day has to last at least 16 hours minimum, you
wow.
know, of doing something productive. So I just paid homage to him. He passed on in 2004. So Moses Syrah is Flavian. Shane Blanc is my son, Tinashe. Then I made Bubbly, which is Amelia, my wife. I used to make, oh, I once made Melo, Calista, my mom. And the Sauvignon Blanc is called Mapopoma, means Victoria Falls again.
That's beautiful stories attached to each of your wines. Joseph, where can one find your wines? Where do you sell them?
Locally, for those who enjoy going to wine bars, a Culture Wine Bar has the gin. Sorry, also, I almost forgot to mention that I make gin in Somerset West with 333 Distillery there. They really helped me to make my gin, and I really take my hats off for them. And so the gin is actually available at Culture Wine Bar. Then Open Wine, they've got all my wines. Norman Goodfellows has everything. Aubergine Restaurant also has everything. Like literally from the first maiden vintage to until today, if you want to drink the first wine until today, you can go to Aubergine Restaurant and enjoy it.
But I understand that your wines are also widely drunk overseas.
Yes, of course, yes. I mean, apart from online, from our website, of course, you can actually, or for those in Switzerland, we actually list in Switzerland, Estonia, Netherlands, Germany, south of France. Now, Laithwaite's in England ordered really a lot of wines. And then in America, we had Arkansas, Florida, Miami, Mississippi, Georgia, and New Orleans.
Sure.
Through South Wines, yeah.
Sure. Let's turn our attention away from the wine and spirits for a few minutes and just take a look at your personal life and your family life. Your family is very important to you, isn't it?
Indeed. Family is everything. There's no replacement for having a family, really. Family is everything.
And I understand that you and your wife are quite involved in charity work as well. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, for sure. I was, I'm lucky and actually I'm blessed, I would say, to have married someone who understands my language. Oh, probably now, but back then when I was studying, she was like, "You're taking money off our pockets and trying to do all these wine things. I mean, we don't have this in Zimbabwe. Why are you doing this?" You know. So we actually hugely involved in giving back to the community. It's sad to say now, and most people don't really believe me, I was raised in a very poor family. So whereby we could eat bread and butter during Christmas and rice during Christmas only. Mm. I could walk to school barefoot, 15 kilometers to school and back, both primary and secondary. So I know how it feels really for one to walk barefoot to school in winter. I know how it is really for one child who is actually back in the rural areas, whether in Eastern Cape or in Chirumanzo, Zimbabwe, to really not have that privilege of eating bread every day, you know. So when Cyclone Idai really affected Zimbabwe, I actually gave my wines and my service, and then I requested wines from different producers. I'm talking of Detourain, I'm talking of Nodé Wines, many Hartenberg and all those guys. They put their wines together. Then we had we hosted a dinner at Auslese with the owner of Aubergine Restaurant, again my friend Harold. Then we raised almost 65,000 to 70,000 rand.
Wow.
So we took that money back to Zim. We built 10 houses for the homeless people who didn't have homes because of Cyclone Idai. And we bought food hampers for 35 families.
Wow.
Including sanitary wear, you know.
Mm.
That really, for me, was something which I thought we could only do. Here locally, I gave my wines to Ezeko School of Catering in Langa so that they could actually learn how to do food and wine pairing. I gave them some cash as well. Goed Gedacht Trust in Swartland, where all this whole journey started. I also gave them cash for them to buy whatever they actually needed. And Jan van Riebeeck School, which I think is the oldest African school in Western Cape, we gave them wine 2-3 years ago to auction so that they can actually fill the cracks of the building, which was about to kind of falling apart. I just heard that the building is actually got cracks. Then I gave in my wine to be auctioned, so that they can actually get the money to fix that. So you will see that, I mean, we are really involved in giving back to the community. I mean, what happened recently with other three members, which you call Zim Soms, we got a documentary coming. So we went to London, where we premiered 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, and we raised £80,000, which is 1.6 million.
Wow.
And this money is coming to help the SADC region. We said the money doesn't have to benefit those in South Africa only. The money doesn't have to benefit those in Zimbabwe only, the way we come from. But please spread out to the SADC region. I mean, you're going to have to spread love.
Amazing, amazing. Joseph, I could talk to you all afternoon, but we've got the Eyewitness News coming up. Before we let you go, how can listeners that might want to watch your documentary do so?
So, look, I think I'm allowed to mention this today because everything's going to go live on social medias today. So for those who are in Cape Town, Blind Ambition documentary is going to be premiered at Labia on the 21st of July, I think around 6 o'clock. So please check on social media platforms. I think South African Wine Testing Championships website. For those who follow me, yes, I'll post that on my personal, whether Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. Look for it, please. And let's feel Labia and watch this documentary. It's very moving. It's amazing.
Absolutely. I can't wait. And I think we're going to have to schedule a follow-up interview because that just wasn't enough time for me, Joseph. There's still so many things I'd like to ask you and so much to touch on. But I do appreciate you coming in this afternoon. And you've got to write a book. You've got to write a book.
Thank you so much. I think I should. But yeah, thank you so much. I'll come to you when you want to actually start that project. How is that?
Deal. You're on.
Thank you.
That's Joseph Defana, internationally recognized sommelier and winemaker, rising from absolutely nothing. What an incredible story. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did.